Welcome to Deeper Dive. I'm your host, Jay Wald. And this is episode 67.
I know. Wow.
We're moving up.
We are.
We're moving up. That's all I know. We're moving up. And I'm with my favorite co-host, Dawn.
Thank you. Hi.
How are you doing today?
We're good.
All right. That's right. And this is, from what I understand, the Jesus only. This is the last one.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh. Yeah.
That was a pastor, by the way.
Mysterious.
That was that, yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yes, wow. He said the last one. I thought it was like, you know, 54 or something
I
going
thought
on.
So.
But I guess not.
At least 20. At least 20.
10.
Yeah, at least 20.
10.
That's what she said. Well, as always, we thank you. For any questions that our podcast listeners may have, questions, concerns, they can tell us on 954-388-8780. Via Facebook, WhatsApp, Instagram, YouTube, whatever you like. It will be through. And of course, once again, we're still podcasting Zoom.
That's right.
That's right. And as I always do, we always start off with a word of prayer. Yes. Father God, we thank you once again for this beautiful day we've gotten, Lord. We thank you for each and every day that we wake up. It's always hope. Lord, we thank you that you have given us the grace and mercy that you've given us in our lives and our families, Lord. Even in this pandemic, Lord, that we're still able to thrive in certain ways, Lord, to continue to spread the good news gospel. So I want to thank you for that, Lord. Continue blessing our podcast, our speakers, everybody's affiliated with us. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right, Pastor.
So,
welcome again.
Yes.
Good to be with you guys again.
Wonderful. So we had a situation yesterday where you announced that there was a truck coming with food. Can you tell us a little bit about that and if this is going to be something that we're going to be start doing in the future?
Yes, that was a good situation.
Mm, absolutely.
What happened is we just got a phone call from the youth leader, the associate youth director for Florida Conference in the South, Pastor Freddy Rodriguez, and he told Pastor Andrew that there is a truck of food, of grocery, vegetables and fruits, and they are ready to download it somewhere.
So
we immediately were receptive. So they brought the whole load to Plantation Church, to the property of the church. And some other churches also took some food because, for instance, Margate Seventh-day Adventist Church has food distribution today.
Okay.
So part of the food that was delivered here was that taken to that church. I think that was an interesting and great experience. God just provides in different ways.
Yes, he does. He does.
Yes.
Wow, that's beautiful. Beautiful.
Good.
Okay.
So your title, let me show you something cool. I was still waiting to show me something cool.
Cool, but, I know.
Yeah. I only got in the sermon, so
so
waiting for the demonstration. What he's going to do?
I don't see anything.
Did you watch the whole sermon?
Yes,
I did watch the whole sermon. Yes,
because that was the point.
You took us back in your childhood, which I understand.
Yeah.
All right, so we're here in John 15.
Yeah.
Talking about the true vine.
Yeah.
You talked about, of course, you know, God being the vine dresser, producing, we're abiding in the vine. Of course, he's the vine and we're the branches. What stood out to me is about how you were talking about the pruning.
Yes.
And I wanted to elaborate more on that, on the pruning. The question I have for you is, could you elaborate on how the God would practice his pruning on us believers?
You would like me to elaborate on that because that's your favorite part?
Well, that was something cool, I thought.
I like the part with the grapes. That's what
I do too.
If the grapes are one thing, it's like
yeah, we're gonna get there.
Yeah, well, that was the cool thing.
That was the cool thing. Okay. I know.
but I think there is something cool about the pruning as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because at first glance, you perceive that cutting reality pretty harsh, right?
Yeah.
And the question would be, why do you want to prune the branches that already yield fruit?
Yes.
Because I would understand if the branch doesn't give fruit, then you want to do something about it.
Exactly. Right.
Exactly.
Cut it, if nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
Cut it out. But then if you have a branch that already bears fruit, why would you do that painful intervention?
Yeah.
And the Bible passage is very beautifully constructed. And I pointed out the movement, the progression.
Mm-hmm.
No fruit, fruit,
mm-hmm.
more fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, you have much fruit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And all that process is brought about by the pruning intervention of God.
Right.
And yes, it's painful.
Mm.
Pruning as a natural intervention in horticulture, which is taking care of the vine, mm-hmm. of the vine stalks,
mm-hmm.
means to cut down, to cut off those offshoots that don't do anything else but suck away the energy, the sap.
Yeah,
of the branch.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
And a good vine dresser knows exactly what to cut, when to cut, how to cut, and how much to cut.
Amen.
So why is it so difficult when, if we look at it from a spiritual aspect, when God decides to prune us, and we go through situations that are not nice, how are we supposed to react to that when the situation is just so bad, it's so difficult, it's so hard, and God says, yeah, but I'm coming to prune you. What is our reaction supposed to be to God with that?
Yes, I mentioned this in the sermon yesterday, that pruning, although it may look like that, pruning does not happen by circumstances. It's not the circumstances of life that prune us. God may use circumstances in life, or circumstances may come across to us as if they were God's pruning knife. And yet what is very important for us is to understand that the pruning is done by God, not by the knife.
Gotcha.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Right.
Wow. See? Yes.
So the knife is in God's hand.
Yes.
Okay. But God does the pruning. Now, when you understand this, I think it transforms your way of seeing reality and analyzing the pruning knife, circumstances. Let me just give you one pretty suggestive Bible story. You have the story of Job.
Yeah.
And in the story of Job, you have those calamities and the loss, the heart-wrenching loss that Job goes through, and then sickness itself. If you look at circumstances in a situation like that, you would start blaming circumstances. And you, if you are a believer and you have the impression that pruning is done by circumstances, then you will start fighting the devil.
Okay. Yeah.
True.
Whereas Job, when he was seeing all the hell that broke loose, he didn't go to the devil. He went to God.
Amen.
Okay.
Somehow Job knew that it's not the devil, it's God.
Mm-hmm.
Even if the knife was invented by the devil,
yeah,
it's in God's hand. And he only allows as much as you can take.
Mm.
Now, I'm not saying necessarily that Job's situation was a pruning situation.
Right.
Because to what I can see, Job's situation was a trial.
Yeah.
And the trial is not necessarily to prune you.
Okay.
It is much bigger than that. It's something that happens in the big scheme of reality, where because of the rules of engagement in the plan of salvation, God has to allow the devil to have a certain effect on somebody's life.
Mm-hmm.
But when we discuss about situations, life altering or changing, hardship,
mm-hmm.
difficulties,
mm-hmm.
there are many instances when it obviously is a divine intervention behind the scene through which God tries to improve my life.
Wow.
When it comes to health, for instance, because that can be...
That's a big one.
Very sensitive. Yeah. Right?
Yes.
Sometimes we have health issues and we pray that God will fix it immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe God has to allow that to continue because you have to do a lifestyle change before the sickness goes away.
Yes. So would that be construed as a pruning then?
So in that sense, I would say yes, that is a pruning.
Okay.
Because the pruning knife called sickness removes the lifestyle that has brought you into that situation.
Got you.
Oh.
Wow.
You know, the part I like about it is how you changed, I guess, one half of the Sons of Thunder when you said you call John a thunder stick. I like that. I mean, how, yeah, you know,
I thought it was a funny picture, you know, to associate thunder with a stick.
I said that was a good one. I you know, what I liked about is your story with your neighbor Charles.
Mm-hmm.
And when you were young and he showed you his great vineyard. I guess at that time you were looking at observation like, hey, cool, that is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And then now you're a pastor, and I guess the word I want to use is heavenly realities. You see what that really meant.
But about, see, that's how life works.
Yeah.
Because some people, when they preach, some people use illustrations taken from history, taken from here and there. And I do that sometimes. But to me, and I think for my audience as well, there's nothing more compelling than when God takes a life reality and expands it and gives it dimensions that go beyond immediate life.
Mm-hmm.
See? And that's what Jesus was doing with his parables, his illustrations.
Yeah. Illustrations.
He would take a life picture and expand it, bring it out, and bring the kingdom of God to you with it.
Yes.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
That is wonderful. That is wonderful, though. Wow. I just enjoyed that part of that story when you said that, how he amazed you, you know, as a young boy, how he pruned and cultivated and kept it going to be pretty much the best, in the area. The best grapes he had around.
I think he really had the most beautiful vineyard in the village.
Yeah, and now it has spiritual applications to how we live
and
our
then
lives.
And the contrast, you know, when somebody comes in and starts cutting back the branches.
Yeah.
And then one day, even the vine stalks are gone.
Mm.
That's terrible, you know.
That is.
When you see, and of course, in a sermon, you cannot explain everything.
Right.
Of course.
But in my mind, that creates the contrast between God, the good vine dresser, that creates a true vine.
Mm-hmm.
And then the enemy that for a while gives you the impression that, yeah, he takes pretty good care of the vineyard. But then one day you end up realizing that it disappeared.
Mm.
It was all destroyed. It was all cut off.
Wow.
Yeah.
The grafting, the element of grafting that you're able to get different species, as you describe, different species on the one vine. How is that related spiritually to our lives?
I'm not sure the word species is correct here.
Oh, it wasn't.
I would rather use the word kind
than
species, because there's a conversation, a discussion among scientists.
Mm-hmm.
What qualifies as a species, as a different species mm-hmm. or not.
Okay.
I think what is important for us to understand that in nature, when it comes to the vine stock,
mm-hmm.
yes, you can have different branches or grafts taken from different kind of grapes.
Okay.
And yeah. I think the most visible way of picturing this is the color of the grapes.
Okay.
Although not all grapes that have the pretty much same color have the same taste. Right?
Exactly. That's why I said species, because I know that usually it's kind of different.
Yeah, but you take that different kind,
mm-hmm.
okay, bring it into this vine stock.
Right.
Then you take a piece from another vine and bring it in here.
Yeah.
And then another one and graft it in here.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a merging reality right here.
Right, exactly.
Okay. And out of the merging reality, you have a beautiful outcome in
which
the same vine stock with the same sap.
Right.
Produces on different branches different fruits, all delicious.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
See? Mm-hmm. And why would you say this is better than the other one? This is more delicious than the other one because they are all delicious.
Exactly. Exactly.
But
that's right, Don.
In the way God works with us, with humans,
right.
You can see diversity and variety in nature all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe, although Jesus did not explore this aspect of the vine, but I think in our racially polarized society today,
mm-hmm.
that was a beautiful picture to capture.
Right.
It was a cool thing, you know, to see.
Okay, now we got it.
Yeah, you see how God is able to graft us in Jesus Christ, and still allow us to produce that unique kind of fruit that God created us for.
Yeah.
Okay. Bear much fruit.
Absolutely.
Bear much fruit. I like that.
Yeah, you touched on a little bit on, as you're talking about the racial aspect, you touched on each one of you as pastors being able to relate to different people of different races. What was your main reason for bringing that out?
You know, I think in a multicultural setting like the one we have at Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church, people are watching pastors, which is a normal reality to
Absolutely.
Some extent.
Absolutely.
Right.
But there is this phenomenon of watching more the one that is not like me, especially now when things are polarized,
mm-hmm.
when racism mm-hmm. has been gaining public attention.
Yes.
And the conversation has been going on mm-hmm. in all spheres.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody is white, that person may watch more carefully the black pastor,
mm-hmm.
see how he relates to me, the white.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
If somebody's black, then he or she would watch more the white pastor, see how the white pastor relates to me now.
Uh-huh.
And same can apply to Pastor Jen. You know, she has
both angles.
Asian background. Okay, so she's not in the white-black dispute, so to speak.
Exactly.
And yet, people are watching her, asking, "Okay, so let me see how this third color of grape."
Mm-hmm.
Relates to these other colors, okay? And I think it's important in these conversations and facing these realities, because mm-hmm. racism is a reality that you have to face.
Yes.
Acting as if it never happened, that it's not there, would never help.
Right.
Because that means to lie and believe a lie and live in a lie.
Yes.
So in this conversation, it's very important, I believe, to recognize our limits. Humanly speaking, there is no ability in the human being to give his life or her life, not even for those that are just like him or her in every aspect. Well, every aspect, you cannot even say that, because nobody is like anybody else.
Exactly. Right.
But you would say that there is more ability in a human being to do something sacrificial for those that are part of the same culture or ethnic group or family.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is, humanly speaking, because of the distortion and contortion and brokenness that sin brought to our lives, we are not able to do that sacrificial giving up of self, of our life, not even for those.
Yeah.
Then how much more incapable are we when it comes to somebody that is from a different cultural background, different ethnic background? Yeah. So that's why I believe it's very crucial to admit, no, humanly speaking, we are not able to do this. We are thundersticks.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So the only way, if there's any way to be able to do that for your friends, friends, if you have friends, right, is if you abide in the vine.
Amen.
There's no other way.
Yeah.
That's where I kind of placed ourselves as pastors out there, and at the level of discourse of communication, I tried to do the dialectics and say, okay, so who's able to do this? Well, in a church setting, to every dilemma, you would answer, I would do that, you know, we have to do that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, the honest answer is no, we would not do that. Why wouldn't we do it? Because we couldn't. And why couldn't we? Because humanly speaking, you're not able to do that. You need the divine sap coming from the vine to transform you from a thunderstick into a fruit-bearing vine branch.
Yeah, nice twig.
So would you say that if, like, for example, we have an issue whereby somebody is saying, I don't want to do that for that person, does that mean then that they're not spiritual, that they don't have God with them?
Well, yes and no, because it depends on what you think about. I think there are human limitations that may not be outgrown even if somebody has his heart and mind in the right place.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So even somebody that spiritually is really on the road, on the way to maturity, he or she may not be at the stage, at the level where he or she is able to do that specific thing.
Okay. Okay.
On the other side, though, I would say that when somebody has his heart or mind and mind in the right place, there should be at least a willingness to do it.
Yeah.
And then Jesus says, the one that gives you the will can also give you the power to do that. But it's a growth process.
Yes.
And let me apply that specifically to the racial tension.
Okay.
Right?
Racism is a reality that gets under your skin and becomes part of your fiber in ways that you may not even be aware of.
Mm-hmm.
And that applies to both those that come somehow genetically related to the abusers and to those that come genetically somehow related to the abused.
Mm-hmm.
It applies both ways.
Yes.
Racism is a reality that may be there in you, within you, it's in your existential fiber, and you don't even know it.
Yes.
That's why I keep emphasizing how important education is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
On every level.
Yes.
And it's not only a black and white thing.
No.
Yes, white and black people need to be educated on it.
Mm.
But those that cannot be classified neither as one or the other, they also need education on this because being an outsider, you have a hard time to understand what is going on there.
Yes.
So it's crucial, I believe, as a church to do a lot of education internally and also to do education in society when it comes to racism. And do that education again from the perspective of the vine, of the vine stock that can bring in branches from wild and savage vines and make them produce the most noble grafted fruit.
Yes. Yes.
And to me this has been a journey throughout the last few months. And it's very, very weird how God brought me into this, because it has been a prayer of mine, even before I came to Plantation, that I can somehow have an impact in a multicultural setting. Because I came to America, and my first assignment was the Romanian church.
Right.
Yeah.
And pastoring an ethnic church in a multicultural setting is a challenge of one kind.
Right.
But because of the eclectic mind that God blessed me with, and my multicultural orientation and languages, because quite often culture or learning about the culture comes through language as well.
Exactly.
The language of a people is a vehicle that carries culture.
Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm. Being very passionate about languages, I ask God, Lord, give me that setting in which I feel fruitful, you know?
Yes, yes.
Somehow.
Yes.
I feel fulfilled.
Yes.
Now, little did I know that God was preparing a setting and a time for me where I will go day after day, you know, and have wake-up calls after wake-up call.
Yeah.
And I said, and at one point I had to stop and say, oh, my Lord, what is going on here now?
Yeah.
Because coming from Eastern Europe,
yes,
first, you are not directly related to the history of colonization.
Exactly.
Because you are neither colonist.
Right.
No colonized, right.
Mm-hmm. Now, exploitation happened in the East as well.
Exactly.
Because the great powers of Europe always exploited the smaller powers.
Oh, that's right.
And they had wars and all kind of things.
Right.
But I wasn't exposed to this kind of realities. And I cannot say now that I understand this because learning secondhand,
yeah,
is one thing. Being there, experiencing it firsthand, is another thing.
Exactly.
And genetically also, because I know psychology has confirmed that genetically there is a way of carrying on the experience of your ancestors.
Yes.
So to me, it was a new experience that God was immersing me into, and I was like, okay, so now what?
What? Yeah.
So I had to come to that point where I said, okay, Lord, I understand this is tough. This is tough. Mm-hmm. So now let me start and be intentional about teaching myself, or getting the right teaching, the right information first.
Right, right.
And then see how that shapes my mentality and my output.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Because if you have the wrong input, your output will be wrong too.
Very, very bad.
Wow. Very.
Sounds like you needed lots of pruning.
Yeah, I've been pruned. Yeah, I've been pruned. I have some things, you know, that I will be able to share one day.
Mm.
I sometimes tell people, you know, I'm too young to tell everything that crosses my mind. but there are things that are ripening,
mm,
you know, within my
job. Yeah.
Okay.
That I think one day will be useful, because I don't believe in solving the problem of racism like that, you know.
Yeah.
Because there's no way for something that has been there for centuries and is so deep seated
to
go away like that.
No.
What I believe though is that we can educate ourselves, mm, and we can allow the Holy Spirit, God, to shape ourselves, to shape us, our mentality, our perception of reality, mm, and then shape within us the right output, so that he can use us in the long run.
Exactly. Wow.
Because this is not a short race.
No, it's not.
No.
All the race.
That's right. Mm.
It's a long race.
Yes, it is.
It is.
Okay.
Very long.
All right. I want to shift a little bit to almost to the end of your sermon, where you started talking about God being a vending machine, how we use God as a vending machine. We pray the TG method, you said, thanks and giving. Tell us a little bit about that. Expound a little bit about how we do that in reality.
Well, how we do it is exactly how the vending machine works.
Mm.
You think you have the right coin, you put it in, and you wait. Well, you don't even wait. You want the Coke.
Come now.
The soda to be dropped right away.
Yeah.
Okay, and the amazing thing is that sometimes the soda will drop even if we put in the wrong coin,
mm,
and then we will conclude it dropped because we put in the right coin. I know that's kind of
yeah, kinda, that...
okay, let me replay it. Okay.
Replace that.
We're surprised to hear that.
So, wrong selection, everything.
So we have the wrong coin.
Okay.
We put it in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The soda falls.
Right.
And then we conclude it fell because we put in the right coin.
So it's the wrong coin because we're not supposed to get soda in the first place. We're supposed to get something healthier. Is that why?
Exactly.
Wow.
That's one application. That's one application.
Okay. Okay.
So what I'm saying is, when we get something, it's not that God, it's not necessarily that God gave it to us.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. On the other hand, it may be that although we ask it the wrong way, we use the wrong coin, so to speak, God will still give us, in spite of the wrong coin, what we have asked for.
Asked for.
Right.
Okay.
But it's not because we did put in the right coin.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's because God is so good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But then in this conundrum of coins and vending machines, we really have to understand and learn what the right approach to asking God for something is. And we are coming to prayer here.
Yes.
Prayer is not convincing God to give me what I want to have.
That's true.
Prayer would be rather convincing myself in front of God to accept from God what he wants to give me.
Yes, that's what it is, yeah.
That's why I often say that it's not God that needs the prayer. It's me who needs the prayer.
Yeah.
Right.
Because when I pray to God, when I speak about what I desire in front of God, or being in the vine, to use the illustration, okay? When I hear myself saying some things, I may stop and say, oh, what did I say? Do I really need this?
Yes.
Yes.
Do I really need that? Do I really desire this? Because in that conversation, God immediately starts talking to me. And I said it in the sermon that pruning in a different language actually happens through the words of the vine.
Right.
Because I'm in the vine. So now I'm having the conversation with the vine. And when I have something to ask for that has nothing to do with the sap of the vine, the words of the vine will do the cleaning, the cleansing, the purging. So by the time I end my sermon, I may come to the conclusion, no, that's it. That actually is not my desire. That's a wrong desire. And the Spirit already convinced me that I have to get that out. Okay? So the cutting, the pruning happened there right away.
Gotcha.
Let me ask you a question. If you're talking about the God, the pruning, cutting away, wouldn't that be a process of withering?
Well, to the part that was cut off, yes.
Yeah, I mean, did you know you just don't need that?
Right. Yeah, that will die.
And the process of withering, you know, because every illustration has some limitations, okay? So we try to expand the meaning of this illustration as much as possible. But then there's a limitation to that. Because in reality, there is a chance to the part that was cut off to be grafted back into the branch.
Okay.
Gotcha. Wow.
Normally, it should wither.
Yeah.
And be burnt.
Right.
True. Okay.
But if I'm not in the right vine, so to speak, then the enemy will take that withering part and graft it back into my soul.
Right.
And that's what happens, you know, when somebody gives up, say, alcohol.
Right.
Right.
For 7 years. And when I said a certain period of time, then you already got it.
Wow.
Well,
So you also touched on the children. When we teach our children, pray, and then you'll get this. How are we supposed to really teach prayer to our younger people, to our children?
Very good question. Very good question. Sometimes I'm shocked, and I must say frustrated when I hear, even in children's stories, that we teach our children that God answers every prayer.
Mm.
That's false. That's a lie. Just imagine if God really answered every prayer.
Wow.
Okay, let me bring it down to a smaller scale. Just imagine if you as a parent satisfied every desire of your child.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right?
True.
Like, I had my younger brother, the youngest brother, he told me, the youngest. He told me one day the story. He was coming home from classes. Mm-hmm. He was in college. And in a curve, he saw a motorcycle on the ground.
Okay.
And he kind of stopped to see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then he saw the driver of the motorcycle coiled up on the wheel of the truck.
Oh, ooh. Wow.
Okay, so now I'm using this as an illustration.
Yes.
Maybe that young man prayed before he got the motorcycle that God gives him or would give him a motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
If indeed God gave that motorcycle to him,
yeah.
Wouldn't you say that God killed him?
Yeah.
Apparently.
Wow.
See, so yeah, it's pretty tricky to teach your child that God fulfills every prayer.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you may want to say that God responds to every prayer.
Mm-hmm.
But not answer, because when you say answer, then you expect that the thing that you ask for will be granted.
Yeah.
When you say God responds to every prayer, then God has at least three possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
Say yes, I'm going to fly the drone and the drone will drop your bicycle in the backyard.
Exactly. Hmm.
No, you need to grow up first. And then you will have what you desire.
Right.
Or God may say yes, but not now.
But not now.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That's what most parents do.
Yeah.
Or because I think I have the two options pretty close to one another. Yeah. The other option would be God to tell you, no, you don't need that at all. Or you need it. Mm-hmm. You need it that bad.
Yeah.
That you don't need it at all.
Yes. Wow. Yeah.
Okay.
Very true. Very true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 Very, very true.
Guys, pretty deep conversations.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's the beauty of the Lord. That's the beauty of the Bible. You know.
Absolutely.
That's what it is. That's what it is. Right,
Joe.
Well, Don, I'm ready to grow my vineyard in a few minutes. Got some seeds ready. I want to get a nice vineyard. I want to bear much fruit.
Good.
All my life.
So help you God.
Yeah, so help me God. Okay. Well, I want to thank you, Pastor, as always.
You guys,
since it's now the end of Jesus only.
And
yeah. So, give us a prelude to something.
You have something else coming up?
Something else is coming up. A full month of vacation for Pastor Joe.
Woo!
You can't podcast that.
You will not see me too much and hear from me too much in the next 1 month.
Okay.
I need to take a vacation.
Understood.
My biological rhythm really is asking for that.
Yes. Are you going to go away for your vacation or are you going to stay put?
Well, I will go a little way away.
Okay.
Like in the state? In state?
Yeah, maybe just to reach the closest mountains. You have to know that my wife, my wife grew up in the mountains.
Oh, really?
Okay. So,
have you been to Tennessee? Have you seen the Smoky Mountains over there?
Yes. But you can imagine that the molds that we can see in Florida.
I know, there's no mountains.
The mental picture my wife has in her
mindset.
Great American flatlands. Yeah, nothing here.
Yeah, but we love Florida. I mean, I wouldn't give Florida for the mountain. But, you know, once in a while, you need to go, and that's what I do. I go to the mountains. I take the mountain in, come down here, and then just project.
Okay.
Throw a mountain here and there, you know, in my mental.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. That's good. Well, Pastor, as always, you deserve it in your family. And I hope that you guys really be safe, of course, out here, because you know what the situation we're in, but we pray for you as always.
We are committed to face cover, mouth cover.
Uh-huh. I know, nose cover.
Everything, nose cover. I mean, you can look like a ninja and still be
I was thinking the other day, you know, such a blessing for those that are married, you know, or at least already have a fiancé. It must be very, very difficult for those that are still looking for something.
To even see
who has the right smile, you know.
Tell me to go to a vineyard. Yeah, I understand. That's a good thing, though. Don, I appreciate you as always. It's always doing that. So remember, next time we get a vending machine, get the right coin. Make sure you get the right selection, because what can come out?
Not the right thing, because we didn't have the right coin.
Not the right
thing. If you put in the right coin, until your soda came down,
it's the wrong thing.
Yeah. It's the wrong. So we do the natural reaction. You kick and punch.
But if the right juice, you know, came down,
don't
necessarily draw the conclusion that you put in the right coin.
Exactly.
Maybe just because God is so good.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there you go. Because he is.
That's right.
All right. Well, once again, Pastor, we thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate you.
Love you.
And I'm sure we'll hear from you in the near future. And Don is always the greatest co-host ever. And, for our podcast listeners, we want to thank you for listening. The ones that's been listening and hearing us, we hope that somebody get blessed. As always, Pastor, lead us out, please.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this beautiful picture, the mental image that you created in us of the vine stalk that has many branches, and each branch can bring the fruit of the color that you designed us for. So, Father, I pray that you will continue to bless all those that were listening, each one of us, and keep us in the vine. Or if we are not in the vine, graft us into the vine, in Jesus' name, through the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And remember, any cares, any concerns you may have, go and text us at 954-388-8780. God bless to everyone. And remember, we must abide in the vine because we are the branches. And that's how we produce. We thank you.